A playlist original.
Welcome back to episode 9 of season 2 of the Breakfast Book Club podcast. I'm Emily, and today I'm joined by the wonderful Sophie Cousins, author of This Time Next Year and Just Haven't Met You Yet. I absolutely loved both books, and Sophie was just a delight to talk to. I absolutely loved this conversation. She gave us a really good insight into what it's like being an author and reading feedback, which was quite eye-opening because I struggle when writing reviews about how harsh to be or how overly kind to be, so it was nice to hear it from her perspective. And she also has an amazing most important read which has been added straight to my list, so I hope you enjoy this episode. Hi Sophie, how are you?
I'm really good. Well, I've got a bit of a bunged up nose, so excuse me if I sound a little nasal today, but yeah, and it's cold and rainy outside, so I'm happy to be inside sitting next to my radiator talking to you.
Yeah, nice and warm. I know the weather's awful today, it's horrible, but you've just got back from New York. Is that
I did amazing? I did a very extravagant flying visit to New York to go and see my book in bookstores, and I so nearly didn't go because I booked the flights kind of on refundable air miles and things, and I just didn't know what was happening with COVID, and I just did go, and it was amazing, and the weather was like, you know, really nice winter weather, just like really bright and kind of crisp, and not the kind of pouring sheet rain that's going on here. So it was a lovely break. Yeah, it was really nice.
Yeah, it looked absolutely gorgeous. Just like a tour of all the New York bookshops on your stories, I was just living for it.
It was amazing. And also, I think because I live in Jersey, there's only one bookshop here. So I've only actually seen my UK book in two stores. I've seen it in one in London and one here. And I haven't seen it in any supermarkets. I haven't really kind of had that experience as an author of kind of walking into a bookshelf, bookshop and just seeing it on the shelves. So it was really amazing just to kind of be in some, you know, random Barnes and Noble in Brooklyn and walk in, and my book was just like right there on the table. It was incredible. So I'm really, really glad I went to see it, because who knows again when I might be in, you know, I might never publish a book again and it might never be on the table in Barnes and Noble. So you've got to seize the day.
Yeah. What are you currently reading at the moment?
So currently reading, I have actually just finished between books, because I just finished The No Show by Beth O'Leary, which I know you've read as well. I heard you talking about it last week.
Yeah,
but I feel like I don't really want to talk about that because there's so many like spoiler potentials.
That's what I found, because I was like, at what part of this book, obviously because it's so like secretive, I'm like, what can we even say? Like,
I know.
I don't want to say anything in case I say the wrong thing.
You know what's funny, I literally just texted lots of my kind of book friends and says, right, who's read a proof? Because anyone who's read it, like, I just want to talk about it, and no one had read it, and I was like, oh, okay, I'm gonna have to wait till you've read it to talk about it, kind of thing. But yeah, I don't really feel like we can talk about as in, it's a very clever book, it's a very clever book, and but I think you need to come into it completely blind, otherwise it would, you know, ruin it for people.
Yeah, there's so many chances for a spoiler in that book. I was like, no, just say nothing.
So the other book I'm reading is the sequel to Finley Donovan. I don't know if you read this, by Ellie Cosimano. And the first book she wrote is Finley Donovan is Killing It. And the second book is Finley Donovan Knocks Him Dead. And I just completely loved the first one. And I'm halfway through the second. And it's just a really original premise. It's kind of about a single mum who wants to be a writer, and she's in a coffee shop pitching her latest murder mystery idea to her agent, and someone overhears and mistakes her for a contract killer, and she's short of cash, and so kind of ends up getting embroiled in these kind of, you know, mobster, and it's just very funny. It's kind of like, you know, Bridget Jones does gangs. It's just like it's so brilliant. So I'm really enjoying that.
That's actually been on my list because I've seen so many people just rave about it, but I haven't haven't quite got to it yet. So
yeah, I always get confused with title because I was like, yeah, the author, because when it's like a name of like, yeah, Finley Donovan is the character, not the author, Ellie.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, I kind of was talking so much about the first one, and then the second one is, yeah, Knock 'em Dead. But it's sort of, it's just, I love books that are, don't neatly fit into a box of genre, you know, or kind of like a bit of a mashup between, you know, because this has like got a little bit of romance, it's got a bit of murder mystery, it's got a bit of drama, but it's like also, you know, very satirical, very kind of, the voice is just very original, you know, the character is kind of trying to juggle childcare and like dropping her kids off at nursery with like hiding a body in her garage. I mean, it's just brilliant.
It sounds like when you said Bridget Jones meets gangs, I was like, okay, this is a good one.
Yeah. Yes. No. So that's, yeah, I'm really enjoying that one.
So I'm currently reading It's a Proof that's out in February, and it's It Must Be Love by Caroline Corey.
Ooh, not heard of that one. That sounds good.
So I'm only about, well, I started reading this morning, I'm already about 70 pages in, which is good going for a Tuesday. And basically it's these two people meet 14 years ago, and now 14 years in the future, someone's just got engaged, and then suddenly the man from 14 years ago is back. Just, they randomly just meet at an event, and well, I don't know what happens after that, but that's how far I've got. But it looks great, sounds great. It's set in like Paris, London, I think it might go to Istanbul, so it's going to be gorgeous.
Like globe-trotting romance. I like it. That sounds
yeah,
good.
Yeah, so I'm really enjoying that so far. So the general hook of the podcast is your most important read. What have you chosen as your most important read?
I had a little think about this because there was various ones I could have chosen. But actually, I think my most important read was The Air Affair by Jasper Ford. I don't know if you've read any Jasper Ford, but so I read this, this came out in sort of 2001. So I think I must have read it when I was at university. And it is, again, it kind of started me realizing that there could be books that just were just crazy funny. Like, it's the first book that I read that I think I kind of just laughed out loud. And it's very surreal. It's kind of a bit sort of, people have described it as sort of like Douglas Adams kind of meets Terry Pratchett. Again, it's this idea, something that's completely genre defying. So The Air Affair is basically set in an alternate world. It's an alternate timeline of 1985, where kind of Wales is the capital of Britain and croquet is the national sport. And dodos are still, it's still in existence because they've been kind of genetically re-engineered. So lots of people have sort of pet dodos. So it's kind of like an alternate reality, but very funny and surreal. And the plot is basically that the protagonist, Thursday Next, who is like a, you know, amazing protagonist. She's like a war veteran. She's like 36. She's like really kick-ass. And she can jump into books. They're in this world, basically, there is the ability to go into novels and you can kind of change the plot. So they have these literary police that are kind of stopping people kind of changing books. And why it's called The Air Affair is because she goes into Jane Eyre and messes with the plot. So, I mean, when I describe it, it sounds completely bonkers. It is completely bonkers. But when I read it, it just was so my sense of humour. It's very surreal and silly and, yeah, very Douglas Adams-esque. And he then wrote a series of novels, all featuring Thursday Next, who's the heroine of this one. And it was just one of those books where I was like, oh my God, I have to read the next one. And you know, when the next one came out, it was a real kind of, I think I had it in my calendar, you know, when was the next Jasper Ford coming out? And I think that's the first author I'd ever felt that way about, where, you know, his new release would feel like a big moment that I would be looking forward to. And also just really made me giggle and made me think and, yeah, made me just realise kind of what books could be. I think, you know, studying English at school, sometimes you kind of get bogged down in lots of the classics that you just sort of think, yeah, I can see this is really good and everything, like there's great sentences and stuff, but it doesn't really speak to me. And this was a book that, you know, it's beautifully written and very well constructed, but it just kind of spoke to me.
That sounds incredible. I haven't heard of that. Even when you said you can go into books, I was like, oh.
Yeah, it's really cool. And it's like, you know, you've got to kind of go with it in terms of the like alternate reality. But yeah, so there's a whole series of like Thursday Next kind of going into different books. And it's this idea that kind of, you know, you can influence the plot and how much people would feel like upset about that. And like, so there's a lot of kind of wordplay and kind of references to other writers and other books. And it's just so imaginative. I've been to see Jasper Ford talk at a couple of literary events, and he's just one of these people who, he just has a very, very unique brain that he can kind of imagine these things. I mean, some of the other books he's written, this is not the same series, but this is one of his most recent releases, was about an alternate world where rabbits like exist alongside humans, but they're kind of like human rabbits in a way. They're as big as us and they can talk, but they're kind of deemed a second class citizen. I mean, I just don't know how he thinks of this stuff, but it's, you know, like, I couldn't think of that in 100 years if I was trying to think of a plot for, like an idea for a novel.
No, that's like one of those things that if so many people could try it,
yeah,
and it'd be like, no. Whereas this sounds like it completely works.
Exactly, it does, exactly. And I mean, I think you've got to like, it's a bit, when people described it, genre, you know, like The Air Affair, I read a little article about like what genre is, and they're sort of like, it's a bit of sci-fi, it's a bit of fantasy, it's a bit of romance, it's a bit of like, you know, action adventure. It's like, it's absolutely everything. And someone kind of jokingly said, it's as if he put all his ideas in a hat and rather than pick one, he just did them all. And that is what it feels like, but in the best possible way.
Yeah. I'm adding that to my list. This podcast is so bad for my like TBR. Every time someone mentions a book, I'm like, amazing, need it.
I mean, also interestingly, like I don't reread books generally. There's no books I've really read twice, because for me, so much of a book is plot and knowing the excitement of not knowing where it's going to go. And also there's just so many books out there I haven't read. I just don't think I would take the time to read them again. But you know, just now we're talking about Jasper Ford, like I do feel like it's been a long time since I read them. Like I could just go back, I would actually like to go back and read those again. Do you read books again?
No, for the same reason that there's just so many books. I'm like, if I read another book, I feel not like it's obviously not a waste of time, but I'm like, oh, there's so many stories that I haven't yet discovered. I know this one.
I know, but then, you know, what's funny is that, like, my brain is like a sieve. So to be fair, if I did read a book that I'd read five years ago, I probably wouldn't remember very much about it. And I was having a conversation with my mum about books, and she was like, and I was recommending her some, and she was like, oh, that sounds really good, that sounds really good. And then I spoke to her on the phone, and she was like, oh, I was 3 chapters in, and I realised I'd already read it. It took a 3 chapters. Like, I just think, like, books I've read a long time ago, I'm like, oh, yeah, it's vaguely about... was it about this and that and that cat? And then I'd remember it if I read it again, but it's not like it's fresh as a daisy in my mind. Yeah.
That just reminds me, actually, a few years ago, I went to Vancouver, and on the flight back, I was sat next to a man who decided to take up his seat and half of mine. And just, so I got absolutely no sleep on the long haul flight from Vancouver back to Manchester. So you can imagine I was thrilled, but I was like, oh, I'll just get some reading done. And I started reading One Day.
Oh, yeah.
And I was reading it and I was like, oh, I think I might have seen the film of this. Like, this is vaguely familiar. And then I got to the very end, and obviously there's a big twist at the end. And I was like, I've read this and I've seen this film. I was like, how have I forgot? And like, it was so good. I was so immersed in it that I read the whole book in the one flight.
Yes.
And I was like, oh, yeah, done this before.
I know, maybe we should be reading more books again then, because we can't remember anything about.
Can't remember them.
I know.
That's actually a very good segue onto reading books in one sitting, because I read your first book this time next year, last Christmas, loved it, and then I had your latest book on the shelf, and then when we decided to do this episode, I was like, right, make sure you read that before. So I started reading it on Saturday thinking, yeah, got plenty of time. I got nothing else done on Saturday because I read the whole book in one day.
Oh, that's lovely.
I just sat there and I was like, this is brilliant. Like, I need to know what happens. I absolutely loved it.
Oh, that's really kind. Thank you.
Like, the whole way through, I was like, this is what's going to happen. This is what's going to happen. I thought something was going to happen. And logically, I was like, there's no way. Like, that does not fit into this timeline. There's no way that that can happen. And it didn't happen because obviously it was not logical.
You know what's funny
Your way was better.
But it's funny because the feedback on like romances in general, some people like love that they're quite predictable. Some people a bit like, oh yeah, I loved it, like despite the fact that it was predictable. But what's funny, we just haven't met yet, is lots of people have been like, oh yeah, I could see it coming, like what was going to happen, it was predictable, but I still really liked it. And other people were like, oh, I really didn't see that coming, I didn't know where it was going. So it's like everyone is very different about how they read.
I obviously can't say what I thought was going to happen. Actually, I'll tell you. So is that I was convinced that Suitcase Man was the taxi driver. And I was like, how has he got in two places at once?
Oh, right. Oh, I wouldn't have thought of that. That's like, a good idea.
I was like, there's no way he could have left his bag and now be in the taxi. I was like, but like that would be good.
Oh, that's a good idea. Right. So you thought he was going to be like secret and not tell her, but then secretly be at the end, be like, oh, it's me.
Yeah. Like when he was like, oh, that's not a very good jumper. And I was like, oh, it's your own jumper.
Oh, that would have been good. That's a good idea. Right. Go back and write that. I'll go back and write that first.
Yeah. But your weeks are just perfectly like binge readable. Like you don't want to put them down, you need to know what happens. You can't really set out to write a binge worthy book. That's a bit of a
I think I am a big kind of fan of fast pacing. I think that's partly from my kind of working in TV. It was always trying to cut things down to fit into a smaller, you know, we'd film a show for an hour and then you'd have to try and cut it down to half an hour. So it's kind of, I did think that taught me quite a bit about just sort of like, you know, just getting on with it. I really like short chapters. I like to read short chapters and I try and, you know, when I'm editing, I go back through and I'm sort of like, you know, if anything's longer than kind of 9 pages, I'll try and cut the chapter in half because I just like short chapters. I think it kind of makes the book speed along a little bit more. And also I just actually found We Just Haven't Met You Yet, it's written in first person, unlike This Time Next Year, which was written in third person. I think there's something about first person that really rattles along as well, because you're really in the character's head and they're telling you kind of what they're thinking as they're going along, and you can hear all those little asides. And yeah, for me, that makes things quite pacey as well, because if you engage with the heroine and you're kind of with her, you know, it allows you to be in her head and sort of see her thought process, and you're kind of very invested, I think, in a way that maybe sometimes third person is just not to that degree.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like if you are in someone's thoughts, and because she's such a likable character as well, the whole way through you're like, I need this to end well for you, like come on, like, let's get there.
I mean, this is the other thing I find interesting about now being a published writer, how much readers identify with the main part being a big part of how much they enjoy the novel or not. So with This Time Next Year, with Minnie, you know, she's quite a particular character. She's kind of, you know, she's very insecure. She's very kind of low self-esteem in some ways. And, you know, lots of people who read it really identified with her and sort of said, oh my God, I really felt for Minnie. I'm a bit like that. And I really, you know, enjoyed the novel as a result. Whereas some other people said, oh, I just found her, you know, she didn't stick up for herself enough. She was just a bit like I just couldn't relate to her because she just needed to like pull her finger out kind of thing. And I just found that so interesting because, you know, I'm not like Minnie, but I had a lot of empathy for her. But for me, I don't necessarily enjoy or not enjoy a book depending on whether I'm like the protagonist or not. But I found from feedback that seemed to be quite a big kind of definer about whether people like got on board with the story or not. And equally with Laura, you know, she's a hopeless romantic. She's a bit nuts. And, you know, some people very much like, oh, I'm so identified with her. Like, I completely feel like this. Whereas other people are a bit like, oh, I just think it was a bit unrealistic how she behaved and how she thought. And I was thinking, like, that's exactly how I used to think.
I loved when he said, oh, I've got a feeling. I've had a sense something good is going to happen. And, like, that's literally me and my friends in the group chat. We're like, I've had this feeling that today this is going to happen. And we've got that straight talking friend who's like, girls, you have lost the plot. And I was like, so when they were all in the chat, I was like, okay, this is like my group chat.
Yeah, the two best friends, Dee and Vanya, they're kind of like, everyone's slightly got the friend, you know, the voice of reason, who's just like, look, let's just not get overexcited. You have, you know, the plot, for anyone who doesn't know, is about a girl who goes to Jersey for a work trip and she picks up the wrong suitcase at the airport. And when she opens the suitcase, she sees inside all the things that make her believe this is the man of her dreams. You know, he's reading her favorite book. He has got sheet music for her favorite artist. He's got the kind of jumper she adores on men and various other things. And she just convinces herself, this is meant to be. This is my meet cute. This is the man I'm going to be with. And she's got two friends, and one, Dee, is sort of like, okay, let's just roll it back a little bit. Like, you've not met this guy. You've just picked up his bag. You're sounding completely insane. Let's just kind of try and, like, calm it down a bit. Whereas her friend Vanya is like, yeah, of course. Of course. This is the guy who would be with. Like, go get him. And, like, I love that everyone's got those friends that are, like, the voice of reason and the kind of encourager to do crazy things.
Yeah. And I think, like you were saying about it being relatable, I feel like everyone in the group chat is one of those three characters.
Yes. Yeah, exactly. All of us have got a little bit of hopeless romantic about us. And all of us have got that kind of, yeah, someone's like checking them, you know, checking themselves or being the realist. But yeah, and that was one of the difficult things with Just Haven't Met You Yet, actually, is because she goes off on her own. She goes to Jersey on her own for this work trip. And like, for me, it's like the kind of female friendships in your life are quite important in the story, because I think, you know, beyond love and family, those kind of friendships are very important in most people's lives, and they're kind of what ground us. And I really wanted to give Laura some friends that featured heavily in the book. And, you know, when I did the draft and they just were all on the phone a lot, there wasn't that much interaction in real life with her friends because she wasn't there. And, you know, I started off writing it thinking, oh, is this a problem because it's just a lot of phone calls? But actually I decided it wasn't a problem. And lots of us just speak to our friends on the phone. And, you know, we're not together a lot. Everyone's at work or with their family or in different places. And, you know, I spend a lot of my time keeping friendships alive by talking on the phone. So maybe that is just reality.
Yeah, it is. Actually, I've never thought about that. Like, when you read a book and they're always with their friends, it's a bit like Sex in the City or Friends, when you're like, this is not realistic for you to be with these people so often.
Exactly, completely. Yeah, Sex and City, they're always meeting up for brunch and they can kind of all go bam, 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 bam. And like, in reality, most of us are like on a WhatsApp chat, you know, with your group being like, yeah, don't be crazy about the suitcase guy, or like, yeah, do be crazy about the suitcase guy, or whatever it may be. It's like, I mean, and actually I think some modern books are depicting that. I quite like books that have like WhatsApp kind of conversations in and stuff. And it's just sort of, yeah, it's just very relatable to how we actually, you know, keep our friendships in the modern age.
Yeah, definitely. It's more like scheduling brunch six times before you finally actually make it to the brunch, yeah, than going every single day.
And then all the COVID restrictions, then someone's ill, and then someone, you know, it's just like another layer.
Yeah, you finally find a day. You get like a day when everyone can make it, and then you're like, oh, actually, we're not allowed to meet up anymore. Let's try again. You sort of touched on it before about when you get feedback from readers and how some people say, oh, I really related to this, or didn't really like that character. How is that reading it? Like, if you write this character, create it, and then someone goes, no, don't really like them.
I think when I first published This Time Next Year, because it was my first novel and it was my first experience of kind of getting reviews and feedback, you know, it's hard not to take it kind of quite personally. If you get a good review, you'd be really excited and really amazed that anyone has read your book and liked it. But, you know, if you got a bad review, you'd think, oh no, my work is terrible, it's awful. And I think what I've learned just over the last couple of years that's been really helpful, I don't know who said it, but someone said, when someone doesn't like your book, they don't not like you, it's your book. It's like in the same way that, you know, you could like, you could like an artist in the flesh and you just don't like a particular picture that they've done. And like, you just got to not take it too personally. And also, I think that you can't ever write anything that everyone is going to like. And so for every person who completely loves your kooky, zany heroine and the way that their mind works and thinks it's the best book ever, you know, you're going to have somebody else who can't stand them, because that's just, we as humans are so different and we like different things. And I think you've just got to make peace with that. And I think that, you know, from having got lots and lots of reviews, I have made peace with that. And I don't know, you know, if people don't warm to them or like them, that's completely their prerogative. I think the criticism of sort of, you know, oh, well, I haven't really had criticism like this, but, you know, if someone was like, oh, it was really badly written or like rushed or not thought through or, you know, like more critical of the actual writing, I think that would be harder. Whereas someone sort of saying, oh, I just couldn't get on board with this character, that's more of a personal taste thing anyway. So it's sort of, you know, meh.
Yeah.
But I know lots of authors don't read any reviews because they just find it like it is quite, you know, there's not actually that many other jobs that, you know, you just get like lots of people inputting on their ideas about whether you've done a good job.
Yeah. Every time I like write a review, I always, I'm like, I couldn't write a book, so I need to factor that into this because I actually have no knowledge about whether this is good or not. This is just my taste. But also, I always remember years and years ago, I was in a play and we like done like a little tour around the UK, and in one venue, they just forgot to market this show. So there were 6 people in the audience.
Oh, no.
And it was a full like proscenium arch theatre. And so you could hear every single thing. And there was 2 women in the audience going, this is just really boring, isn't it? Oh, I just don't like this.
Oh, no.
We were just stood on stage, like giving each other side eyes, like, what on it? Like, there's more of us on the stage than there is in the audience. Like, and 2 of them don't even like it. What do we do? And now every time I write a review, I'm like, yeah, it's not nice for someone just to say that you're shit. Like, just be nice.
But then it's interesting because, I mean, there's some authors that don't read it because they find it too difficult. But then again, like there's some reviews that I've actually found quite helpful in my, you know, so some of the sort of more, so I guess, negative feedback for this time next year just was sort of people who said, oh, I really like the story, but they felt like it ended too soon because it kind of ends, you don't see a lot of kind of the couple that get together. It just, and maybe it needed an epilogue or something, you know, and like, actually I took that kind of on board and actually that just haven't met yet. I did have an epilogue where you kind of see them together a little bit more. And I found that quite helpful. But I still stand by the fact that this time next year, like the structure of it, I wanted it to start at New Year and end at New Year. And for me, it was more of a story of how a couple met rather than like their story of being together. But it, again, I'm learning a lot about sort of the romance readers' expectations and tropes and kind of what they like to see in a book. And, you know, that's not going to kind of dictate my writing, but I'm definitely happy to kind of take it on board and learn from it because I'm new at this and, you know, I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah, I think romance readers, I didn't even know what a trope was until I joined Bookstagram. People are so invested in it. And I was like, oh my God, like this is a thing.
Yeah. And that's what's, so when I wrote, I watch a lot of romantic comedy films, but I, to be honest, before I wrote This Time Next Year, I hadn't read a lot of romance novels. Like, you know, I'd have read some, but I certainly didn't kind of know it as a genre. So I think when I was writing This Time Next Year, I was just kind of doing my version of like my perfect rom-com film, but like written on the page. And so I think now I've read much more widely. I kind of know about the tropes and about the audience and about the readers. And it's interesting because it's almost a bit harder now because I know too much. Like I know, you know, all these other brilliant writers in the genre and I know kind of what's been done. And This Time Next Year was just sort of me on my own sort of making up the story. And I didn't have that pressure of thinking, oh, well, is this friends to lovers or enemies to lovers or love triangle? Or I didn't have any of that. It was just a story. And I think now it's almost a bit of pressure to be like, well, what trope am I going to write? And like, what's been done in that genre before that's been really good? And, you know, it's kind of, you can know too much, I think.
Yeah, definitely. What would you say is your most anticipated read, just going off that?
So the most anticipated read that I'm looking forward to that I've got on pre-order is Lily King's new book of short stories, which is coming out in January, which is called 5 Tuesdays in Winter. So I don't generally read that many short stories, but I loved her book, Writers and Lovers. It was just, I don't know if you came across this one, But it was out a couple of years ago, and it was just brilliant. Again, one of those books that I really like identified with the character. Maybe that's why I really liked it. But it was kind of a woman struggling to be a writer, working in a restaurant, lots going on in her personal life, and having to kind of balance, like, at what point do you give up your dream, and when do you kind of feel like it's just so much part of your soul that you can't let it go. So as a writer, it just really connected with me. And also the writing, I just absolutely adored. It's kind of quite literary, but very, very accessible. And I just immediately went to find out anything else Lily King had written. And yeah, so she's got a lot, I think it's 5 short stories basically coming out in January. And that is, I'm really excited about that one. And in terms of proofs that are coming out next year that I have read that I am really excited for readers to read, there's a book called Impossible by Sarah Lotz, which is a rom-com, but it's very high concept. I'm not going to say too much about it because, again, a bit like the Beth O'Leary book, I think it kind of ruins it for people, but I was blown away. I just kind of devoured it, didn't know what was going to happen. So funny. That's going to be a huge hit next year. And yeah, it kind of, like, I genuinely say it's one of the best rom-coms I've ever read.
That's high praise.
High praise.
My most anticipated read is Book Lovers by Emily Henry.
Oh, yes. No, that is definitely a good one. That is definitely one I'm looking forward to as well. Yeah, I love Emily Henry books. She's just completely nails the genre, I think, just in that sort of, she does all the tropes, but in a really original way. So funny, just like very kind of, she feels like, I think I said about her last book, she's kind of like a modern day Nora Ephron. And I do think that that is what she is.
I also love, and you've done it with your books as well, the fact that the covers match, like work together. That is my favourite thing. And it's an excellent marketing tactic because then you need to buy them all just so you have the set. Like,
I know, and I keep on seeing whenever I log on to Amazon, I think it suggests me Book Lovers as a kind of like, ooh, based on your past purchasing history, do you want this book? And I kind of click on it going, yes, I want this book. And then it says, oh, not out until... Yeah. A million years or whatever. And I'm like, damn it, stop telling me about the book. I know I want it. It's not out yet. Come back to me when it's out.
Yeah. So that brings us towards the end. I have 2 quick fire questions for you. And the first one is, what would be your desert island book and a breakfast?
My desert island book. Now, this one was actually really hard because, again, as we've discussed, I don't read books twice. So actually, I always find the whole like desert island book thing hard because like I would just wouldn't read anything again. But I'm going to say Sorrow and Bliss by Meg Mason, just because that's one of the best books, again, that I've enjoyed so much, like, that I read this year. And I feel like I could read that again and it would make me feel better about being on a desert island. And breakfast-wise, I mean, pretty trad, but I've got to go a really good quality flat white. I'm a real coffee snob, so it's got to be, like, very good beans, very well ground coffee, and really nice flat white, and a chocolate croissant. You just can't go wrong with a chocolate croissant. Yeah, that would be me. I'd be set.
Yeah. Great choice. And who would be your 3 bookish dinner guests?
So I was really deliberating about this, and funny we were talking about Book Lovers, because actually Emily Henry is one of my dinner party guests, only because I just think, whenever I see her on Instagram, I just think she seems so nice. And she's one of these authors as well that's so supportive of other authors. You know, she's obviously gone stratospherically famous, and she's like number one New York Times bestseller. But she's one of these people that always talks about other people's books and publications. And she just seems really fun and really funny. So she would be my kind of contemporary pick of someone who was still alive. And Nora Ephron, who we talked about as well. Like, I just think she has written, you know, Sleeps in Seattle. She wrote the novel Heartburn. I just am a huge fan. She's obviously not alive anymore, but she was just like very wry and witty and kind of astute observations about the human condition. So I would love to have her to dinner. And then my 3rd book, I was going to pick Alain de Botton, who, again, more kind of nonfiction, but I have absolutely adored his books about kind of conversations on love and relationships and kind of how to be happy in the modern day. I think he's a kind of very accessible philosopher who talks about kind of modern day problems, but through the lens of kind of the history of philosophy. And I've seen him speak in real life a couple of times, and he's just, I could listen to him for hours. He's just wonderful.
They're great picks. Nora Ephron. I always would never think I'd have Nora Ephron on my three dinner guest list, but she would be great. Like, she'd have so many tales, and
yeah, I feel like she'd
be
just
so
have
much
great
fun.
Stories. Just, but I mean, as in, even her novel Heartburn, which is brilliant, was based on her own experience. You know, she had her husband cheat on her when she was pregnant, you know, hit rock bottom, and, you know, best revenge. She wrote a best-selling book about it. I mean, genius.
Yeah, I listened to the audio of that, and it was narrated by Meryl Streep. And I just thought, it doesn't get any better than this.
No, that's brilliant. That is brilliant.
Well, that brings us to the end. Thank you so much for being a guest and sharing your insight. It's been great.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thanks for having me.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode of The Breakfast Book Club. If you've enjoyed the episode, please leave a review, as it helps other people to find the podcast. Hopefully, I will see you back here first thing Monday morning for the next episode. Bye.